Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about the division within the Israeli society, or more correctly, the dangers that come with it. We're all familiar with the rift itself. What we'd like to focus on today are the dangers that come with it. Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah. We're going to talk about something really painful today, something that really touches the heart of the Israeli society. When we look at what's going on in the media and the social conversation, we see that there is a very deep crisis, a very strong rift within the Israeli society. Maybe even the worst that we ever had to deal with, at least in modern times. We see that there's hate, and the conversation is very violent. We see that everything is becoming very extreme. And there are those that say, no big deal. There was always a division, there's nothing new. Only today, it's more apparent, it's more exposed. And there are those that say, no, this is something that happened only in recent years. So first of all, let's try and understand the division itself. Why does it seem that it's becoming more extreme? Is it good? Isn't it? There are divisions in every society, in every nation. Different kinds of divisions. But within the Israeli nation, it's much more powerful. And this is because, as it says, that we're a stubborn people. Stubborn how? Because we have an increased will to receive. This desire is not like in other nations. We see it and everyone else does and knows that that's how it is. And therefore, each and every one is as if powerful and feels that he's willing to stand against everyone. And I don't care if it's the prime minister, I can tell him what I think. And it's not like in other nations where everyone nonetheless knows their place, their degree, that this is how I have to speak to this or that person, that I'm afraid of this or that. Here, no one cares about nothing. This is the nature of the Israeli nation, of the Jewish people in general, that in the past, when we were more religious than religion, it tied us more together, it would calm us down, restrain us. We were more afraid of punishments, more drawn to the reward, to be nice people, at least, apparently. On the inside, of course, it's a different problem. And when we move away from religion, and this is something that happens in all sectors, even in the ultra-religious sector, they're becoming less and less. It's called the deterioration of the generations, that we less and less believe in the common way, in the different upper forces of nature that might punish us and so on. But we don't take that into account. And therefore, we are really becoming more and more stubborn from generation to generation, taking no one into account. Here, anyone can yell at the prime minister and doesn't feel that he's less than him in any way, but to the contrary, everyone's smarter than he is, doesn't matter who the prime minister is. Why is it so that we don't respect the state, state officials? We don't, and it's impossible. Why? Because we are a free people. That means what? That everyone was born free of others, equal to others. Once we united around Abraham, who called out, whoever wants to reach the Creator, come with me. Whoever wants to reach the Creator, meaning those that want to reach the degree of equality, of love, of brotherly love, of freedom from all of the limitations of this world, should come to me. And Abraham connected the nation this way. And when he connected them, he taught them that really we're all free of everything. That everyone has to only build himself in a good and nice way toward others. But no one's lesser than others, and no one's allowed to tell the other what to do, but only to give each other a good example. These are wonderful things. If they work, but if we can't keep them, then we're like savages. That method that's supposed to connect people together as equals without any limitations, that no one's greater or smaller, and I'd also say that there are no examples from history that he was a king and he was less, some general, and he's a simple worker, and he's a slave, and he's a master, and he's rich. Nothing. There are no such differences within the Israeli nation. And it's not that it doesn't exist now. It doesn't exist in our blood. It doesn't exist in the person himself. I examined myself. I was connected to and I talked with presidents and really great people, multi-billionaires that can buy half the world, and with great scientists. If I did have some kind of feeling of respect, it was towards scientists, maybe. Because really, maybe he has knowledge and so on. But actually, not really. But there simply isn't. It doesn't exist in any Jew. In no Jew is there some kind of attitude of respect toward any other person in the world. Who is he? What is he? Meaning, it's not something that exists inside a Jew. On the other hand, when I was in Russia, when I was in South America, there and here, in South America and in Russia, I felt that people from the inside, they relate to different societies in a graded way. This is more, this is less, I'm afraid of this, I'm less afraid of that, I respect this more, this less. And this is how everyone has this kind of scale inside of them of how they relate to everyone. Jews don't have that. A Jew looks at someone else. Who is he? How can I con him? That's it. It's something really interesting. And again, it comes because Abraham, our patriarch, connected all of us as equals in a good and nice attitude toward each other. An attitude of love, brotherly love. And if we're brothers, then everyone's open, takes nothing into account, everything's good and nice. I'm free. I behave everywhere as though it's my bedroom. That's how it is. But when we fell from the spiritual degree of brotherly love and we reached the opposite, unfounded hatred, then from feeling that we're all equal, we've reached a state where we disrespect and disregard everyone. Instead of love, instead of connection, disregard and rejection and alienation, this is what we see. And even worse, that among the nations of the world, throughout history and also now, there is subordination, there is a pyramid, who's at the top, who's at the bottom, different social ranks in every country and every society. He was a graph, a master, something. We don't have that. We had a hierarchy for many years of a sage and an ordinary person. So there was also a kind of relation, but also it's not an obligation. But a wise sage was treated as a wise sage. But that's gone. In our times, it no longer exists. And therefore, everyone disrespects everyone. And even worse, that if in all countries, in a person, there is some kind of respect toward the state hierarchy, meaning toward someone who's in government, in different positions, and something, even towards police officers, nothing. We don't have that either. And also those that are at the top, that are managing the country, they give an even worse example, worse than anyone else, about how they fight and how they behave toward each other. The nation that looks at them sees such a behavior that if this is how they behave, then why should I behave towards my neighbor any differently? And so what follows is that in advance, we're already becoming flawed. So, to sum up what I understood up until now, what's special about the nation of Israel is that feeling that every person has, that he's equal to others, that no one's better than others. On the one hand, it gives everyone the freedom to develop and grow and to become the greatest that he can. On the other hand, it can bring us to a state of disrespect, disregard, regardless of who or what the other person is. How does this situation, which is like a double-edged sword, because on the one hand it sounds really positive that everyone's equal, on the other hand, the negative usage of it, that everyone disregards everyone else, how is it related to the division that we see today, this feeling that I disregard everyone? How does it bring us to the division that we have in the Israeli society? Directly? How? There's no special twist or anything. If we all disregard everyone else, then everyone's like a prime minister. Everyone's like the head of a party. He understands better than everyone what needs to be done. And therefore, you see how many parties we have, how many opinions we have. So this feeling that a Jew, that an Israeli feels, it's a feeling that no one can tell me what to do unless that person gives a good example and then I'm willing to respect it. But if I don't get any good example, then I don't respect him. Now, this process causes society to split more and more. If I understand correctly, hierarchy has advantages and disadvantages, but it somehow keeps society. Here, the hierarchy is negative. What do you mean? Because in a correct hierarchy, the more we climb up the pyramid, the more unique the people are. Like in universities, like in science, you can especially see it. Whereas here, those that climb the ladder of control and power, they're worse. They have more disregard. Who's the worst? The one that killed everyone else on the way is standing at the top, and no one can come close to him because he knows how to kill anyone that comes close. That's really interesting. Well, it's well known. Yeah, but it's something that you don't really hear every day. If I'll read different articles or, you know, I'll look for the reasons, you'll get plenty of different reasons on the net. The social media, they incite, and this is our nature. Yeah, and you opened here is something completely different. Something that shows the inner central motive due to which an Israeli cannot stand, really disrespects the opinion of the other. And therefore, we are a very special country. And you can't espouse or use here basic laws of other countries because it simply won't work, right? Okay, after we have analyzed the reason for the division, for the rift, and the inner engine that motivates it. Now what I want to ask about are the dangers that exist in the division. What dangers do you see in it? We have security issues in Israel. We have economical dangers, different financial crises and so on that can happen here and around the world that can influence us here. And we can find a few more dangers. I want to put all of these dangers aside and look only at one danger, division. Is it an existential danger for Israel? And why? Because the nation of Israel cannot exist unless they're connected, or at least that they're inclined toward connection, having some kind of plan of how to realize that connection in the future, because otherwise it's not the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel are those 70 nations of the world that lived in ancient Babylon 3,500 years ago. And Abraham, he called out to all those 70 nations that inhabited ancient Babylon back then, that whoever wants to reach connection with others and build a unique group in which they'll feel how good it is to live in mutual help and brotherly love and love another as thyself, should come to him. And many people came, and he connected them, and he said, from this point on, we are called Israel, from the words Yashar Kel, meaning to be aimed straight at the Creator, that we're all aimed at the force of bestowal and love. This is called the Creator. This is the upper force of nature. In nature, there are two forces, the force of connection and the force of separation. There's no good or bad, but these two forces, we want to associate ourselves with the force of connection. So let's work on it. And this is how he called that nation, those people that came to him from all the different Babylonian nations. And he made a new nation out of them. It's not a nation. Everyone's different. But they connected according to this rule of love another as yourself. Meaning that in our roots, there is a connection between different people that makes everyone equal and creates this unique society called the Israeli nation or society. Yeah. Meaning we're all different. Exactly. We're all different. And today we can see that too. Like you said, everyone is a world in and of himself, but disregards everyone else. My question is, the division that comes as a result of how different we are, does that threaten the existence of the state of Israel, of the Israeli society? Is it an existential threat? Actually, the state of Israel, compared to other countries, can't exist, prosper, if there's no connection between all the members of the nation. So how is it that the state of Israel both exists and also prospers, and still there's no connection but only separation? We were given an extension. What do you mean? That we can still exist in order for us to reach a connection, because nonetheless we came from the diaspora. And there's an ingathering of exiles here. And you have to build something in order to see what does it mean to do something together, what does it mean to be together. And the upper plan of nature is arranging for us to gather in one place in order for us to start understanding what does it mean to be together, for us to get to know how possible or impossible it is for us to live together, to discover the method of our connection, that only according to this method can we be connected and sustain our country, otherwise we can't. It's a process that those Kabbalists, meaning we who understand this process, have to explain to the entire nation of Israel. If this nation will not learn how to connect despite the differences and the rift, will the country split into sub-countries? No. Why? We'll be thrown back in all directions. What do you mean? We'll go into exile. We'll lose the privilege to be here? Of course. We have no privilege one way or another. What we have here does not belong to us. From above, we really have a kind of surprise, special surprise, that if you try to exist here together, not like it was with Antalena or with the elections that we have here and so on, but in a way that you try to come closer to each other as much as you can, where you feel that you can't, you as if praying, but there's no one to pray to because you're seculars. Both the religious and also the seculars don't know how to pray. But you ask of nature to disclose the force of connection, and then you'll be able to connect with one another, and then build both a Jewish society. Jewish, Yehudi, comes from the word Yichud, connection, and also the state of Israel, consisting of the words Yashar Kel, meaning that's aimed straight at the force of love and bestowal. Otherwise, you're not Jews or the nation of Israel. And then what? Then go and assimilate among the nations. What are you together for then? You hate each other. Yeah, there are those that really decide to leave the country, but there are those that stay here. And for the time being, it's flourishing. The way you see it, what threatens the state of Israel, is it the external enemies that we have or the internal enemy, our separation? If you say that separation is our biggest threat, then I want to ask, what could this lead us to? Undoubtedly that we are our biggest haters and enemies. And is it dangerous? Extremely. But this is how it always was. We're always surrounded by enemies, and we're here for 70-something years, no problem. It doesn't mean to exist. We're all the time in wars, under threat. We exist all the time because we were given this extension in order to connect ourselves into one nation and all of us into one state. And this time extension, is it about to end? Look, I don't think that we're doing so bad in this regard. We went a pretty long way where we stopped disregarding people according to their ethnical background. Ashkenazians, Sephardics, Yemenians, Jews from Africa. It's already kind of behind us. Today I have new things. You have right and left. You have Russians and ultra-Orthodox. You have Tel Avivians and settlers. We need time for that too. All in all, it's a relatively very short historic period. But gradually, it's passing. We see that also the Russians, they're dispersing in different parties, in different corners. And that's how everyone is. I see that there is a connection and that gradually this diffusion, this mutual connection between all the parts of the nation is working. I can barely imagine myself, even though that I'm not that Russian anymore, living with some woman that just came from the Far East, that she's Jewish somehow, or from India. There's a difference in mentality and culture. Yeah, a few generations have to go by, and so this is how it is. But my son, for example, even though that he was born in Israel and he's an Israeli, He later got married to a French woman. Today's children, they don't even know how to define themselves because they're made up of different cultures. So with that, we're finished. Well, time finished it, actually. Time went by and these things changed. Now, when we look into the future, I see that you're not really worried about the division. I am, and very much. Because the previous division was a result of us being dispersed in all different directions 2,000 years ago when we went into exile. Nowadays, the division is different. How? Don't you see? It's a division that comes as a result of our ego that I simply can't connect with you. I can connect with some woman and on the bodily level, corporeal level, but to connect with other people, for this I have to annul my ego in order to be connected with them. What is your ego? My ego is that I'm the greatest and there's no one like me. And this is what's standing in our way and the way of our connection. Of course, that's the ego. And this is a threat. Of course, we can't agree on anything. We have 40 parties. Everyone's ready to start their own party. Designate money for new parties, specifically for that. And you'll see how many people will be engaged in it. And this is the biggest threat to our country. We're not looking for how to come closer to each other. We're looking for how to control, rule each other. And this is unhealthy. Why? Because it does not allow us to build a nation or a country. You're saying that we're prospering. Well, it's a fact. We're prospering due to the competition that exists between us. But there's no interconnection. And this is the foundation of the nature of our nation. And it doesn't exist. And it's dangerous? Of course. Because eventually, this is what's supposed to support us. We're now headed towards a global, total world crisis. In a way that, suppose, starting tomorrow, like with this coronavirus, there's no work. No one can or needs to buy anything. Everything freezes down. Yeah. A person just wants to have half a kilo of bread, some water. It's enough. Because you have no choice. And then what? What about all those pretty Jews that can succeed at anything? There's nothing to succeed at. Nothing to do. We'll live like after a locust plague all around the world, like it was in Egypt. I also heard that there is a locust plague starting now in China. In Africa, it already passed. You know what they had there? Look, we're reaching the end of our show. How do we summarize this show? What dangers do you see in the division within the Israeli society? The danger is that the state, not now, but in a few years, if we don't change this, if we don't take care of this, the country will simply fall apart, will disintegrate. The nation will feel that, what's the point of being together? Everyone wants to run away anyway. Give any Jew a suitcase with money, he won't even look back. Dr. Leitman. So on this optimistic note, we will continue. Great. Thank you very much. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.